The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ruth. Shall we pray together? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I've entitled this morning's sermon, "Trusting God When You Don't Get What You Want." Trusting God when you don't get what you want. Let me share with you briefly a couple of quick stories. One of them at least may well be familiar to some of you. I shared when I first became a Christian that I'd been brought up in a Christian home and family and had attended Sunday school and youth group. And my best friend's dad was diagnosed with liver cancer at the age of 17, and this was at Christmas. And at that time, I thought that I should pray for God's healing for him, knowing that he had three teenage sons that would be left without a father. And so I remember praying earnestly that God would heal him and he would be made well. By Easter, just 4 months later, he was dead. And I decided that if God wasn't going to answer my prayer, if God wasn't going to heal a man and was going to leave a family without a father, that's the point at which I decided I didn't want to have anything to do with that kind of God. I didn't get what I wanted. God didn't answer my prayer, and I went badly off the rails for quite a few years. What do you do when you don't get what you want? My second story is that after having been a youth worker for about 10 years, I had sensed God calling me to be ordained and to put myself forward. And I was very reluctant to do that. I didn't want to be a vicar. But after God knocking on my door for so long, I finally thought, okay, if that's really what you want me to do, I'm willing to do whatever it is you ask of me, and I will go wherever you ask me to go. And so I put myself forward for a process of discernment in the Church of England. And lots of people that I met along the way were all very encouraging and affirming, saying, "Yes, we believe God is calling you. Yes, we can see how God is at work in your life. Yes, we think that this is the right thing." And so I went forward for a selection conference. And having been there for sort of 3 days, I came home and waited for the letter. And 2 weeks later, the letter dropped through the door and it said, "We're turning down your request to train to be a vicar. We don't believe that you're called to be a vicar." And at that point, it kind of felt like the bottom had fallen out of my world, having been willing to kind of change everything to do what I thought God was calling me to do, and yet here was the answer was no. And I guess the question was, what would I do? Who would I trust? Now the short story is, obviously, that I went back again the following year, which is why I'm now here. But it wasn't that straightforward or easy. It was a long, complicated process. And it would be fair to say that I was doubting God's goodness, his faithfulness, his love. But the question kept coming back to me, who will I trust? In whom will I place my trust? And I guess that's my question for many of you here today. Some of you may well have had marriages that have not worked out. Maybe you've not had the children you wanted. Maybe you've had some kind of illness and diagnosis. Maybe some of you are living knowing that I'm living with a terminal disease and my life is going to be shortened. Maybe some of you have had difficulties at work, redundancies, bereavements. The list goes on. There are any number of things that can happen to us. And as a result of those things, we often ask the question, what's going on, Lord? Do you not love me? How come this rubbish is happening? How come I didn't get the job that I wanted? How come I didn't see the healing that I prayed for? How come I've got a broken relationship here or an illness diagnosis here? Do you not love me? And behind that question, I think, is a question of in whom do we place our trust? When things aren't working out, when things aren't going well, in whom have we placed our trust? Now, but just before I come to the text, just some other thoughts. I think so often that what I've seen in parents who seek to love their children well is that they seek to give them all the opportunities and the love that they didn't get as a child in order to say, I love you this much, I want to give you what I never had, what I never could have. And I think that there's a real danger, I think that that's really fantastic, but I think there's a real danger that we then look to God in exactly the same kind of way. In the way that we might want to give to our children the things that we haven't in order to show them our love, we look to God to receive the things that we want. And when we don't get them, the question easily becomes, do you not love me? Because I've not got what I wanted. And so the question behind that is, in whom do we place our trust? Now the reason for asking you that question and ramming it home is that I believe that so often the thing in which we place our trust is essentially the thing that we worship. It's the thing that we give most priority to. It's the thing that we give our attention to. It's the thing in which we trust. You may remember at the beginning, back in the Old Testament, the first commandment was, you shall have no other gods but me. I'm the one in whom you shall place your trust. Don't trust in anything else. Trust in me. And I think that this question is, when we don't get what we want, the question that we've got to ask ourselves is, in whom are we placing our trust? Or in what are we placing our trust? Let me set the scene from the Bible reading. It wasn't Jesus walking on the water. Fortunately, it was Jesus calming the storm, which is what I prepared my sermon on, which I'm very glad to hear was read to us. A story that I'm sure that is familiar to many of you. Jesus is in a boat with a bunch of fishermen. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm blows up, and Jesus is asleep in the front of the boat. And they start panicking. And so they wake him up and say, do you not love us? Do you want us to die? And Jesus stands up and he calms the storm with one word. Now what you need to remember here is that the Sea of Galilee is 700 feet below sea level. And Mount Hermon, which is about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, is 9,200 feet high. So there's a huge, great big mountain next to the Sea of Galilee. Now, the reason that this is important is that when the cold air from the mountain rushes down the mountain and hits the warm air on the sea, there is a huge clash of two weather fronts. And it's that that provides the huge storms that blow up on the Sea of Galilee almost instantaneously and kind of quite out of nowhere. Now, the other thing you need to remember is that on the boat with Jesus are a bunch of fishermen. Fishermen that have grown up living beside the Sea of Galilee, living in a boat, fishing on that sea. They are used to being out in a boat in the midst of a storm. They've made their livelihood from fishing and sailing on the waters of the Sea of Galilee. But what we read on this occasion is that these experienced fishermen that have lived their lives on the sea are out in a boat, and when the storm blows up, they are scared. They are so scared that they say, well, they want to wake Jesus up and say, what are you going to do about this? Do you not love us? Do you not care about us? Do you not think about our well-being? We're going to die here. Now, that to me seems really unusual. Experienced, weathered fishermen are terrified because of what the storm, being in the midst of this storm. And they cry out, don't you care if we drown? And Jesus simply replied, quiet, be still. And immediately the storm obeyed him. The waves died down, the wind stopped, and the weather blew over. Now, the other thing you also need to remember is that ancient cultures agreed that the sea represented chaos. It was something that was completely uncontrollable. And so when Jesus stands up in the boat and he says to the wind and the waves and the storm, be still, this was something extraordinary. Because the storm, the sea, was seen to be something that was untamable. Uncontrollable. And yet here is Jesus quelling the storm with just one word, quiet. He didn't call on a higher power. He just spoke to the storm and it obeyed. A demonstration of his complete authority and power even over the natural world. Now, before the storm had blown up, the text describes the disciples as being afraid for their life. But after Jesus has performed this amazing miracle, the text described them as being terrified. They were afraid in the midst of the storm. They were terrified when they saw the demonstration of Jesus' power. Now, have there been times in your life, in your life of faith, when perhaps God has felt like he was asleep in the front of the boat, like in this story? Or perhaps he has felt absent, or that you've been unaware of where he is and his presence? And so we cry out, why did you let this happen, God? Why did you not give me what I wanted? Why did you not answer my prayer? Do you really love me? How could you let this happen? Isn't there a bit of all of us that wants to say, surely, God, if you love me, you wouldn't let me go through this? Much like the disciples were saying, if you really love me, you wouldn't allow the boat to sink. You wouldn't put our lives in danger. You wouldn't let us face this peril. But did you also notice in the story, in the text, when Jesus calmed the storm, He didn't turn to the disciples and say, "How are you feeling? What's going on here?" He simply asked them a question: "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid?" His disciples must have been thinking, "Don't. What do you mean, why are we so afraid? Don't you get it? There's a storm here. Our lives are in danger. We're about to die. Surely if you loved us, you wouldn't be allowing this to happen." But Jesus doesn't ask them how they feel. He simply says, he didn't ask them how they're feeling. He says, "Why are you so afraid?" And behind that question has got to be, "Don't you trust me? Don't you trust me? I've just demonstrated that I've got complete power and authority over the wind, the waves, the storm, and the sea. I've got all authority and power. I'm in control." I think from this story we see that God does indeed allow people to go through storms. And they will look different for each one of us. But it's not that God doesn't love us. It's not that he's absent. It's not that he's fast asleep in the boat. And neither do we need to panic. And neither do we need to fear. Because Jesus is the one who is in complete control. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has unimaginable power. Even the wind and the waves obey him. We're going to get worn down by the storms of life, each one of us. But the question is always going to be, in whom are you placing your trust? We can't stop the storms of life happening, but we can make a choice about who we're going to trust in the midst of all of that chaos and uncertainty. Jesus is not under my control. He's not under your control. He lets things happen that I don't understand. He doesn't do things according to my plan. I'm not King Dan. I'm not the one who is in charge and has all authority and makes decisions about what happens. He is. There are things that happen that don't make sense to me, that leave me with answers and questions, that leave me confused. But what I do know is that Jesus is the one in whom we seek to place our trust in times of uncertainty and in the midst of storms. His power is unbounded, but so is his wisdom and his love for us. If the disciples had really known that Jesus loved them, really known in their heart, not just in their mind, if they had understood that Jesus is both loving and powerful, then they wouldn't have needed to be scared. They would have known that he was good, that he was trustworthy, that he was reliable. Their premise, "If Jesus loved me, he wouldn't let bad things happen," was entirely wrong. But the question is always, in whom will you trust in the midst of that storm? Now, C.S. Lewis, in his great book, I think it was The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, retells a conversation between Susan and the beaver in the story. And they're talking about Aslan, the great lion, who obviously represents Jesus to you and I. And there's a conversation. And Susan asks the beaver, "Is he safe?" And the beaver replies, "Of course he's not safe. Who said anything about being safe? But he is good, and he is the King. In the midst of confusion and storm and dismay, God is the one to whom we turn because he is the one in whom we can trust. He will never let us down or turn our back on us or be sleeping in the front of the boat. He's always present, always there. And so my encouragement to each of you today is that we too need to be people that place our trust entirely in Jesus in the midst of storms of life. He's the one to whom we can trust and be entirely secure in knowing that he is good and trustworthy and loving, and that he will meet us in our uncertainty and he will make himself known to us. Let me pray for us now as we finish. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and acknowledge before you our fear when we're in the midst of the storms of life, when we don't get what we want, when we don't see the answers to prayer we hope for. But we also declare that you are the God who is trustworthy and faithful. So I pray that for each of us, that you would enable us to grow in our trust of you and to trust you with more of our lives. Thank you that you are good and faithful and trustworthy. Amen.